your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for its convicting, comforting, its power, Father, to do in our lives and our hearts what needs to be done. Thank you for it. Now, God, I pray that you do a great work in our midst today. Speak to our hearts through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God through our pastor. Use him, empower him for that task. I pray that if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would settle it before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, remind you about the cell phone warning, please. Make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Now listen, if it goes off in the service and we hear it, all these dictators that are fleeing their countries, they're going to use you for a personal reference because your name will come up. So you don't want that, so be careful. Watch out. Help us there. Make sure it is turned off. Inevitably, whenever it goes off, someone says, "I thought I had it turned off." And then the next thing you know, Hosni Mubarak is living in your house. So help us there, please, if you would. Do you see that in Matthew 16 this morning? I'm going to need you to keep your Bibles open and follow carefully with me today. Jesus is rebuking these people because they were spending time checking the weather. And it says in verse 3, they say, "You say in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering." He says, "You hypocrites, can you discern the face of the sky." He says, "You're pretty good at predicting weather, better than most weathermen we have today, as a matter of fact." But he says, "You look up and you can tell." Another passage in Luke, he said, you can tell by the color of the sky in the morning what the weather's going to be like. He says, "You see that." We say, "Yeah, look like it might be warm today. Like the sun may be shining. Might be raining today." He says, "You're all concerned about the weather." And he said, "And you're missing the most important thing that is also right before your eyes." He said in verse number 3, and when you looked at it, he said this, "But can you not discern the signs of the times?" He said, what you see before you that's just as obvious as the weather in the sky is the times, the signs of the times of the day in which you live. Listen now. They were seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled right in front of their eyes, and they missed that. But they could tell whether it was going to rain or not. The Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of many of these prophecies, was standing there, their Messiah, and they were missing that. But they could tell whether or not the wind was going to be blowing much that day. They're more concerned about the weather. You know how it is when you're talking to someone and you can't keep a conversation going. Inevitably, you talk about the weather because it's an inconsequential matter. He's basically telling them, look, folks, the important things you see right in front of you taking place, you're missing that. I was thinking the other day, we got home from a busy week of preaching out and things and doing some yard work and things, getting things squared away for springtime. But all morning long, all I could think about was this situation in Japan and the disaster that struck this nation. You know, you realize it moved the entire nation of Japan several feet from its present location. Then all the things that we have seen after that. By the way, have you noticed nothing on the front pages now? It's pretty much out of, people are already starting to forget about the fact that a nation of millions had thousands swept away in a moment, in an instant. And I was thinking about how that, in relation to what the Bible says about the last days, we'll show it to you in a moment. Then this unrest in the Middle East with these Muslim countries rising up against their dictators and trying to throw them off, and the bloodshed, and how that's, I said, man, that's Genesis chapter 16, Ishmael, the father of the Arab nation. God said this, let me show you, let me just read it to you. God said this about Ishmael, the father of the Arab nations. He said, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Listen, it says of Ishmael, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. See, these would be like wild people, crazy stuff. They hear about some nut burning one of the Korans in Florida, and they'll go down to a building somewhere, drag people out and cut their heads off and shoot them. Had nothing to do with this whatsoever. I think they'll put that guy in Florida on a plane, send him over to Afghanistan, let them do what they want to with him. But the truth is, you don't do that to people's stuff. I don't have any respect for the Koran. It's not God's word. It's not a holy book. But I'm not going to burn somebody's holy book. That's ridiculous. That's insulting people in a way that's not necessary. Then this idiot down there in Florida said, well, we're not responsible. Yes, you are too. You did that knowing those people would get mad and kill innocent people over this sort of stuff. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, but that's signs of the times. I wonder today, ladies and gentlemen, do you see these events of things that take place? Do you see them as the signs of the times in which we live? Not just events, not just things that happen, but do you see them from the eyes of Scripture and understand that these are the signs of our times that are telling us things about our day, our life, our time, the times in which we live? I wonder if Jesus was among us now today walking this earth, if he wouldn't look at us and say, well, you have satellites that can tell you where the next storm front is. You have all these things that tell you about the weather. But do you not also discern the signs of your times, the days in which we live? Now listen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important. They missed their time and the importance of their day. They missed it. The Lord Jesus Christ was in their midst, walking this earth, the Messiah, Son of God, the one the Jews have been looking for, and the vast majority of them missed it completely. Jesus walked among them and told them, he said, they will crucify me, and in 3 days I will rise from the grave. He told them that several times, made it clear about what he was saying, so they understood it carefully. Nobody was there at resurrection morning. They came after Christ had already risen from the tomb. They missed it. They missed the times in which they lived because they weren't aware of the Scriptures and what it said and what it told them. There are things that are happening before our very eyes today. And I wonder if we see it. Do you see it, friend? Do you see what's taking place, and do you see it like you ought to see it? Not only signs of prophecy and fulfillment of things, but just a fulfillment of the times in which we live, that God tells us. He's teaching us things. He's trying to instruct us about some things. Let me show you. Go to just a few chapters to Matthew 24. Go over there, if you would, to Matthew 24. And look at verse number 3. Jesus foretold of times that we would see in our day in which we live, and in relation to the end of things as he would conclude matters. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be, look at verse 20, verse 3 of verse chapter 24. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now listen to me. Everything Jesus says after this, all the prophecies and the fulfillment of signs that must take place before Christ comes. They knew he was sitting there. So he wasn't talking about his coming the first time. They were asking him about the second coming of Christ. So what would take place before Christ would come back? Chapter 24, verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Worldwide type deception, much of that today. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Further signs to be fulfilled. Verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. We'll stop there. But look, and then he talks about martyrdom, people being martyred for the cause of Christ. All these events, these things that are taking place, he says that's telling you things are coming to a conclusion. Now listen to me this morning. Do you see the signs of the times of this day today? When you see things that happen in the headlines of the news, and whether they happen on an international level or a national level here in our own country, even things that happen here, do you see the signs of the times? Do you see it today? Do you see that through all the things that are taking place today, do you see the fact that God is in control, not events? Do you see that? Listen. This business of the earthquakes that take place and the disasters that follow. I'm not here to say that God is trying to smite the country of Japan. It's a nation that's a secular nation. It's a nation that worships nature. It's a nation that worships their ancestors. By and large, a nation that's not a Christian nation. But we've had disasters strike America, and this is supposed to be a Christian nation. I think that's stretching it quite a bit. But the truth of the matter is, what it is this. It's the God of heaven who created everything, using his own creation to teach his own created that God is in control of what takes place, not man. And it's not events. It's not just, it didn't just happen. Those poor people in Japan one morning, they woke up to a mighty earthquake, and the tsunami wave moved so fast after that, they did not have time to prepare. And many of them had prepared. But I'm going to get to that in a moment. But the truth is, it happened so quickly, there was nothing that the intelligence of man could overcome. But it wasn't just a disaster or a catastrophe or an event. Ladies and gentlemen, it teaches us that the God of heaven who made everything is in control of what takes place. I watched the science reports, as no doubt you did. They talked about the shifting of the earth plates and how this dropped down and this came up and that created this and this happened there. And they can break all that down and tell you how it happened and exactly what happened with earthquakes and with these events and how hurricanes are created and all this stuff. It's interesting how man can tell you how it happened. He can't tell you who created it. And it's a sad tragedy. We live in a day and age today where nature gets credit for what happens when it's the hand of God. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. See, if we see these sort of things happen, it helps us to understand that when God is in control of circumstances and situations, they're going to work out the way God designs and the way God determines. And it's not an accident. Now you know what that means to you and I today? It means if the God of heaven is your God, everything that happens and comes to your life is directly in relation to his control, not circumstances or events. Things don't just happen, ladies and gentlemen. People need to wake up. We have dismissed God from so many things in our society today. We've got this idea that they just happened. It just happened. This just happened. That just took place. Why, it was just sort of an accident and a disaster? No. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This, everything you see is created by the God of heaven. You hear me? He fashioned this earth. He created it with his own hands. He made all of that. It belongs to him. You say, well, why would God want to kill all those people? Didn't say he wanted to kill them. I said God wanted to let us know that he is in control. We are not. That's a good thing for us to remember today. God is in control of things. Remind yourself of that. God is in control. You mean everything that happens to me in my life comes to me by the hand of the Almighty God of heaven? Is he your God? If you're a saved person, do you know Christ as your Savior? Then everything comes to you through the hand of God. Lost people experience what happens at the hand of God also. But it's God, ladies and gentlemen. It's God this morning. It's a good thing to remember in our particular lives. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. God has direction. God has purpose. You may not agree with everything that God does, but let's get this straight in our mind. He's God, and he can do whatever he wants to do. It's in his hands. Well, that's not the way I'd prefer. I prefer to think that he's a loving God who would never do. Then you have your own God. You make him as you see fit. But I guarantee you, he's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is in control of everything. He is in charge of what's going on. You discern that today. In a secular society that's dismissed him from so many things, God is in control, not events. You know what you learn from the signs of these things that have happened around us these days? Man plans, but God decides. Man makes his plans, but God decides. I was watching the one event there, and one of the, In Japan, they understand the danger of earthquakes and the tsunami waves that come afterwards. One particular city had built a 30-foot-high tsunami wall protecting it from the tsunami, direct from the ocean. And the wave, they estimate, the tsunami wave that hit that part of the world was 30 feet high. And they said, we tried to figure out what happened. It was, the wall was sufficient to cover and to knock the wave down and protect the people. What happened? They found out that the entire country of Japan dropped 3 feet in the earthquake. And that's why the wave overwhelmed the walls. Fascinating. Man makes his plans. God decides how it turns out. So the next time they say they need to build a 50-foot wall, then he'll have it drop where there's another 4 feet of clearance. You get the picture this morning. These dictators over there in the Middle East that have oppressed their people, slaughtered them. You know, some of these people they're trying to throw out of office, they took some of their own people and put them into chippers. Those things that chips up limbs and things, shoved them in there alive, feet first, and ground up their own people. Electrocuted them, tortured them, slaughtered them. Muslim nations, by the way. Do you know what happened now? These people thought they had their people so oppressed and so brought under and so beat down in their life. After a while, I don't care who you are, man yearns to breathe free. And these people who have now had empires for 40 and 50 years and slaughtered their own people are starting to see their people uprise against them. Do you know why? Because man plans, but God decides how it's going to turn out. Now let's get this morning. Hear me. You can make all the plans you want to in your life. Stack it up, my friend. Lay out the program. And it's smart. Do that. Make plans. There may be a tomorrow. There may be a retirement. There may be a day coming down the road. You're wise to make plans. But if you leave the God of heaven out, he'll decide how it'll turn out. I've got everything in order, Pastor Johnson. It's all prepared. Everything is laid out. Have we not seen that fall apart? See, we've got this idea that we're such control freaks. We're going to decide how this thing is. And I had one man say years ago, back in the beginning of one of the really bad recessions we had, he said, I've lost it all before. I will never do that again. I have it guaranteed set up now whereby I will never lose it all again. It's set up. It's guaranteed. And he even talked about how the government guaranteed it for him. And I thought, boy, you're in for another shock. And that, all this kind of stuff. And he was actually bragging about the fact he had learned so much from the first loss, where he had lost everything, that he said, that will never happen to me again. And when he said that, I thought to myself, that sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, king of Babylon, told by God, you better break off your sins or I'll put you out in the backyard eating grass like an animal for 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar refused to do that because he was the king of the world's greatest empire. And the day he stood up in pride against God, the Bible said there's a sound from heaven and his sanity was taken from him and he was driven out of the palace and lived in the backyard of the palace, scratching in the ground like an animal eating bugs. His hair grew long. He looked like an animal living out there. The king of the greatest empire of the world, because Nebuchadnezzar had a plan that there was nobody could take him off his throne, but God decided how it would turn out. Dignitaries would come to visit Babylon and say, we'd like to see the king. And his people had to say, he's in the backyard having lunch. God decides. You hear me? God decides. Luke chapter 12, a rich young fool built his barns and got ready for the harvest. Realized it was going to be more than he had planned. He said, I will tell you what I'll do. I'll tear those down. Build me bigger barns. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall who all these things be? When are we going to learn? We can plan all we want to and prepare all we want to. You leave God out and he'll decide how it's going to turn out. God decides. By the way, you put God in the middle of your plans, he'll still decide how it turns out because it's up to him. Hear me this morning. Here's the thing. Do not plan for your life so much that you make no preparation for the next life. There is a life beyond this one. It's called eternal life. The moment you draw your last breath on this earth, you're going to draw your next breath in eternity. Have you made a plan for that? Have you prepared? Do you know Christ as your Savior? That's the wonderful thing about salvation, the way the Bible presents it. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When you trust Christ and accept him as your personal Savior, he gives you the gift of eternal life. And the moment you trust Christ, you have that gift and you're ready for heaven as you're ever going to be. smart person, ladies and gentlemen, who already got his ticket punched for heaven. So when the day comes, which you do not know, it's appointed unto a man once to die. When the day comes, we depart this life, it's already taken care of. Have you got that plan taken care of this morning? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure you have eternal life and that heaven is your home? Have you made that plan in preparation? One thing you don't want to do is think, well, I'm young and I've got a lot of time. God willing, you do. But that's God willing, my friend. God decides. And in this life here, through these economic times, we've watched people who've made preparations and everything else. I'm always curious. When a person has made all these preparations for their retirement days and their later parts of their days in their life, I'm always curious, when they lose it all, did they give God His before then? Were they faithful to give to God like they should before the days came of their retirement? I'm not saying everybody that's lost things in retirement made unwise or bad decisions, but I find many of these people had very little care for the things of God. We're not givers to the Lord's work, didn't get involved in that kind of stuff. Then something comes along and wipes out everything that they have. And I think to myself, all he's doing is getting his. God gets his, folks. It's just how it works. Do you realize that the God of heaven, well, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. But the truth of the matter is, that's how it works. You can't rob God and expect him to bless you for it. Doesn't work like that. God will get his because we plan. God decides how it turns out. Got the picture? I hope you make preparations for things in life. I hope you're wise in what you do. There's nothing wrong with planning for now and the future and the days down the road. That's very smart. I think it's unwise to not do so. But I also think it's unwise to live day by day like it's your life and you can do what you want and God can just sort of squeeze in where he wants to. God will get his then, friend. We plan, but God decides how it'll turn out. Do you discern the signs of the times today? Do you see it? Do you see how that from what we've seen, life can change in a moment? Just like that. I watched those things in Japan and I thought to myself, those poor people never had a chance. They show the news clips and someone would be driving down the road and a 35, 40 foot wall of water, boats, houses, cars was coming toward them. They had no idea. Never saw it and it swept them out into eternity. In an instant, someone just driving to work, just like you and I do, just driving to work on a regular day, and the next instant they are swept out into forever. How that life can change in a moment, in an instant. There were 500 aftershocks the first few days after that earthquake in Japan. 500, many of them 6 and 7 magnitude on the Richter scale after that took place. God just kept shaking that place. How in a moment, now their lives are totally different. By the way, let me say this too, by the way. Those of you people handle that with a lot more honor and grace than some of the disasters I've seen in America. Did you know there was not one report of looting in the entire disaster in Japan? Not one report of somebody stealing somebody's stuff or taking things. How some of them had to stand in line for hours just to get a drink of water. Many of them have yet to have a bath since the day of the disaster. And they're quiet and they're humble and they're honorable people in what they do. Looks a little different than what went on with Katrina and some of the things that happened in America with people raping, maiming, killing and taking advantage of the disasters that others have experienced. Sad testimony, America. Sad testimony. But how their lives are different now. Just in an instant. Look at me. Don't you see the signs of the times in which we live today? Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that today we are guaranteed the moment we have and the breath in our body. That's all. That's all. These last few weeks we've had some of our folks clinging to life in the hospital. One moment there, next minute sick, in the hospital, life support, ventilators, clinging to the breath of life. And in a moment their life changed just like that. Pastor Johnson, now you're scaring me half to death. Shouldn't scare anybody that's right in the will of God. Shouldn't scare anyone who knows exactly that their life is centered in God's will and God's plan for their life. That's why we can't do it any longer. No more. There never was a time, and there definitely is no time now for you to live outside of God's will, live for yourself, and live the way you want to. That is foolishness in this day in which we live. Yeah, well, what are you going to say then if you're driving home today and you're killed in a car wreck? Well, first of all, I'm not going to say anything because I'll be in heaven. Secondly, and I hope it happens suddenly, quickly. But if, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what my life is. Years and years ago, I surrendered to the will of God for my life. And I'm in the center of what God wants me to be and do with my life. And that means everything that comes to me is filtered through the hands of the Almighty God, who's too wise to make a mistake and too loving to be unkind. That, you see, life changes in a moment. I may not have been aware of it, but God knew, and God takes care of things. It's high time to be right with God this morning, Christian friend. High time. High time to get your ducks in order, get your life squared away, and get right before God and stay right before God. Oh, that's because then nothing bad will ever happen to me. No, that's so that everything that happens to you as a part of His plan instead of His chastisement or His correction in our life. Do we see it today? That what we're seeing in this world with the disasters taking place and unrest and wars, the rumors of wars, do you see it this morning? Listen, God is concluding everything and bringing it to its final conclusion. You mean the end of the world, Pastor Johnson? No. No. The fulfillment of all God's prophecies are done. There isn't anything left now to be done for Jesus to come back. You may not get to lunch today. This service may not come to a regular close this morning. We may not get to the invitation to invite you to come to Christ. You may not have another day to get your life in order and your life right. You know why? Because Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. We are on the verge of the last moments, of the last instance. There's nothing to bring. I don't believe Jesus is coming soon anymore. I believe Jesus is coming now. It's any moment. It's not down in the Bay Area, May the 21st. May the 21st, predicted second coming of Christ. Again. He's already missed it twice. He's headed for number three. My hope is Jesus comes May 20th. Blows the whole thing up. I know a couple pastor friends of mine have written to this guy and said, okay, fine, then deed me everything you own for May the 22nd. So if Christ doesn't come back, you got nothing but a mustard jar and a stand on the street of the corner. He refuses to do that. He doesn't even really believe it. I know this, ladies and gentlemen, you can't set a date for Christ to come back. You're not supposed to do that. That's against the Bible, and the Bible is very clear. But I also know that, see, because if he did, then we'd be looking for May 21st. We're not looking for a date. We're looking for him, Jesus, to come back. And it could be today. This is it now. God is concluding all matters. This unrest in the Arab world and the Muslim world today. I believe, I hope that it's God's getting one more foothold in there to get the door open so we can get more gospel and more light and more Jesus into these worlds so these dear people could come to Christ. Because time is coming to a close. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think He wants to get the door open as best as He can and as quick as He can for as many as possible. And that's been a shut down world for a very long time. I think God's trying to get the door open and get the opportunities there. Do you know why? Because time is drawing to a close. We don't have next Sunday to make up our minds about the things of God. We don't have next week. We don't have next month. We don't have next year. If Jesus doesn't come May 20th, I hope He comes April 14th. That would be nice, wouldn't it? And let the liberals pay all the taxes. Anyway, but the truth is, I don't know about all that. I just know this. I saw these things and I grieve for those poor people in Japan. I grieve for them. Tens of thousands of them, they'll never be found. Swept out to the oceans, they're gone. They'll have no place for their loved ones. That nation is a grieving nation today. I grieve for those dear people. I feel sorry for their loss and what they have experienced in their life. I see these things happening. We were in those places not too long ago in Egypt, in places where they're fighting one another, shooting one another in the streets. We were standing there. That country we visited is not the same any longer. Just like that, in just a matter of days, that old nation was turned upside down again. All of that takes place. You know what it makes me do? Lift up, look up for your redemption, draw it nigh. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He is coming soon. He is coming for us. He is coming. There's nothing between us and a trumpet sound. Nothing left to be done. It could be today. So then are you ready, my friend? Do you know Christ as your Savior, number one? Number two, child of God, is your life ready to meet the Savior today? So I've got a lot of things to take care of. Then get your ducks in order, pal. Arrange what you must arrange. Take care of what you must take care of. one of those news clips of that tsunami as it rolled across some of that flat land in Japan. They showed a small clip of a man running down a road trying to outrun this wave. And it stopped just before it caught him, but I guarantee you, he had no chance to outrun something that ran over 500 miles an hour. How about your life today? Do you see the signs of the times? Question, does it trouble you? Does it encourage you? Does it give you hope? Do you see it as nothing but trouble? Or do you see it as God riding on the skies of this world? He is the God of heaven, and He is in control. Is that how it is for you this morning? Let's stand to our feet, please, would you?